Just so you know, Daft Monks is half talk show, half actual play campaign that features adult language and topics. Viewer discretion is advised.
Let's get to it.
Hello and welcome to the Nat One Presents Daft Monks podcast. Hey Nate, how's it going?
It's good. I kind of got to apologize, I guess.
How come? For what?
Usually you're the person who bails all the time and doesn't want to record episodes, but lately it's actually been me canceling on us.
That's all right. You had your vacation to Vegas. How was that, by the way?
So, Nate, I've become a bit of a figure in Las Vegas.
Whoa, okay.
And like, not really, but really. Mm-hmm. So last year, as some listeners will know, if they listen to our terrible audio quality, but hilarious antics in season one, I got a tattoo and I chose an artist in Las Vegas.
It was an ordeal, I remember.
I kept going back there for these short trips. And anywho, I have figured out the secret to getting free resort rooms in Las Vegas.
Ooh, pray tell.
So long story short, Nate, I'll just keep it interesting. I play this old lady granny slot machine. All I do is bring $500 for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I found an old lady slot machine that if you play on max bet, it pretty much like usually gives you your money back. Like you lose some and you go back up and then you lose some.
It lets you keep playing.
It does. And on max bet, it keeps constantly triggering a bonus game that gives you free spins. So long story short, I can play for hours, a couple hours a day on like $500. Now, the Venetian in their systems, they see every time you hit the gamble button, they don't care how much you win, right?
Right.
They just see every time I hit wager and I spin. So they think I've spent thousands of dollars and that I am a hotshot. And Nate, basically a guy emailed me, everybody gets a rep. They all monitor your points if you sign up for those cards that you stick in the machine. And I got an email a couple of months ago. It was like, hey, let me know if you need anything. I was like, this is silly, whatever. But then when we were getting close to a trip, we had one room for free and then we wanted another room for free. So I'm like, hey, can you give me a free room? He's like, yeah.
Whoa.
So I got like three nights free. Anyway, long story short, Nate, while I was there, a guy came up to me wearing a blazer. And I'm like, oh man, like they're about to take me in the back and beat the shit out of me. They figured out that I found the granny machine. And my friend was next to me. And thank God he was with me because he's like, Mr. Casimiro, is there anything I can do for you? And
what?
I was like, and I'm at a slot machine, guys. Like I would expect that at the high stakes tables.
The tables, yeah.
Yes, I would. I've never seen that next to some guy sitting in a slot machine. We already have another four free nights next month.
Whoa.
Yeah, like we're really not gambling more than like $300 to $400 a trip.
And that's nothing.
Nothing. In Las Vegas, yes.
Nothing. Man, you bring up like good points because now I'm really thinking about it. It's like this weird symbiotic thing where like the room is basically costing them more money if it's sitting there empty. So they're willing to offer you the room in hopes that you play. But really, it's saving you money by accepting this room and playing a little bit.
They're not making... I mean, unless they're just thinking that like... Yeah, sometimes I've been up like right off the bat, like when we were there a few weeks ago, I was up $600 in like the first day or two. And I think they're thinking like, well, if I didn't spend that, then I'd be down. But I kept spending that. But yeah, how I view it, Nate, is I go there, I have $500. And then once that $500 is gone, I'm done. So that's like I got a $1,200 value in rooms and I only spent $500.
Savings.
That's how I view it. Maybe that's not how they do, because they literally think I'm spending thousands and it looks like it. But
that's how I view it. You just saved a bunch of money.
Yeah, I don't know. I've like now I feel like I'm the guy from like 21 who's like counting cards. Like, but I'm really just playing like the lamest, like literally the slot machine. It's like sevens and little like dancing bars of gold that look like butter. And it's not like a modern machine. It's like a really old looking one. And it's made by Konami. Fun fact. It has the Konami logo. Yeah. Nate, you live like an hour's drive from Las Vegas, but you don't strike me as a Las Vegas kind of guy. Are you you know, like to gamble or get drunk and gamble or get drunk?
I do like to get drunk when the situation calls for it. Obviously, I'm a homebody, so I don't get drunk at home every single night because I try to stay fit and alcohol goes straight to my tummy. But if we do go out, obviously, I hate being away from the house, so I'm going to have a drink while I'm out and about. But as far as Vegas goes, like I'll go and watch like a, not a show, but like a concert, like music wise, I'll go into Vegas for that. But anything else, I'm not a big fan of gambling. I feel like I work way too hard for my money to sit there. And as soon as I lose $20, instant stomach ache. And I'm like, oh, I fucked up. Like I love actually playing blackjack, but only by myself. If there's a a whole table full of people, you are expected to play a different way than if you would have just played by yourself.
Yes, I have noticed that. I have noticed. People get, and they'll tell you, like, people will be real dicks to you. Not the dealers, the, like, players.
Yes.
They get pissed if you start doing weird stuff.
Yeah. Yep. Because I got completely smashed one time when we were in California at an Indian casino. And when I say smashed, I might have been on something that I wasn't supposed to be, but let's just say I was doing great.
Sorry, but, Mom.
Yeah, sorry. I showed up at the blackjack table and I was planning on betting only $100. Like, that was my limit. And then I ended up getting up over probably $1,200 while I was sitting there. But every other person at the table left because I was ignoring them and they were giving me attitude and I gave zero fucks. And I was that asshole. Like, I'm out here splitting on 2 threes and then doubling down on them. And even the dealer was like, are you sure you want to do that? And I was like, did I fucking stutter? Like, my money's on the table. Deal the cards, lady.
Of course, it was a woman.
Yes, it was. It was. So, yeah, I get up that much money. And then me not being in the correct frame of mind, they did the dealer swap. And then so they swapped dealers, and that's when I should have left. But I was also intimidated because the watch or security that comes down, just the floor security, you know, the guys in the nice jackets and stuff that just hang by, he approached the table and just hung out there while I'm playing. And in my head, I'm like, these motherfuckers think I'm cheating because I'm doing crazy shit.
I mean, it's probably because you were super drunk and like,
oh,
like,
yeah,
you probably like offended the female dealer, but
well, it could have been that too, but I think in my head I felt like it's because they thought I was cheating because
you had the pit boss's attention. That's amazing.
Because I was winning on some crazy stuff, Nate, that I shouldn't have even been betting on. Like the split threes, I ended up winning on that because the dealer bust.
Oh, man. That's
amazing. And then doubling down on it, too. So I won 4 times my
money. I don't fuck with that. I don't fuck with split threes.
Not anymore.
It's not even a thing. But.
And the people sitting next to me were like, what are you doing? And then they see me win. But then they obviously won that hand because the dealer bust. But they started losing because I wasn't playing their way. Yeah. And then one guy was like trying to help me and I was like, thanks for helping me, man. I ended up tipping him $50, just giving him a $50 chip. I'm like, thanks for all your help, buddy. Like, that's how smashed I was. Yeah. And then so we do the dealer swap and all of a sudden I start losing and I start losing bad. It's a new lady dealer, but she's giving me attitude back. They read me like a fucking book, Nate. Like, she gives me attitude back and now I'm offended. I'm like, you don't think I can win my money back? I'm going to win my money back.
Oh, man.
I did not win my money back. In fact, I lost all of my per diem that was supposed to be going towards my food and drink while I'm there. I lost all of that. And then I'm like, oh my God, what do I do now? At one point in my head, I'm like, oh my God, I fucked up. I fucked up real bad.
That's what's pretty wild, Nate, is when you're new to gambling, when you turn, do you have to be 21 to go to a casino? Is that?
Yep.
When you turn 21, you start gambling, everybody thinks like, I'm not going to have a gambling addiction or I'm going to be able to say no or pull out when I want to. And the psychology with these machines is like, I've been shocked. And like, but I hear myself say to my head of like, oh, I just lost all my money. I have to win it back.
Yes.
You say these things. And like right now you and I are like, what the fuck? Like, no, if you're losing, stop.
Yeah, just leave.
But when you're playing, there's this like thing when you start losing of like the two things, either I have to win it back or the other is, oh, it's about to hit.
Yes.
Like that's the other, like these are things. And it sounded like if you had told me when I was 18, like have trouble like pulling out when I should, I'd be like, no, I'm not. Like I, you know, I play like single player RPGs, like a slot machine's boring as hell or like a table game. But the reality is no, like they're bringing you free alcohol. You're in a room with no windows.
No clocks.
No clocks. You're hearing loud noises. You're hearing like ding, 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 like hearing winning noises from somewhere. So they're giving you the illusion someone's making out and it could be you and it's going to be you. And if you just give it a little bit longer, you will be the person you want to be. And then you're down $2,000. You're like, oh my God, what happened?
Yeah.
I've never been down that much ever. If I lose more than a couple $100 in an hour, like walk away.
Yep. I have not gambled once since I lost all that money at that Indian casino.
But what did you bring? So you said you got up to 1200 and then you lost it, but you gambled on like 100?
Yes. Yep.
So do you get mad knowing you could have had 1200 and that like bugs you? Or is it just the fact that you lost the 100 or?
It's both. It's the fact that I lost the 1200 and then I lost my original bet. And then I reached into my pocket and pulled out the rest of my cash, which was supposed to provide me sustenance the rest of my trip, and wasted that. And all of that together, I felt like the biggest piece of shit ever.
It'll get you. It'll get you. I think for me, it's like I bring an amount that I'm like, this is, do whatever fuck you want with this, but when it's done, you're done.
Right.
It is hard not to want to like go to an ATM or fish out a little bit more money, even if you have it. But the reality is, that's, I think, the way you got to go is just decide before you go, when you're in the right state of mind, whether up or down, this is what I'm comfortable totally losing tonight. Yeah. And in most cases, you will. Some cases, you won't. But you say, this is what I'm comfortable losing. And then you go have fun. And that's great. And then if you lose it, great. But if you win, cool. I don't get mad. If I got up to like $1,000 and I went go back to zero, I don't care, because I never had that 1,000 to begin with.
Right.
But I know people, it's like if they see the like high water mark of how much they could have walked away with, they're always thinking about that. If I just pulled out at that one time,
yeah,
I would have been $1,600.73 richer. And it's like, nah, like no one has that kind of foresight, man. No one, right. Even the experts don't know like when exactly to stop.
Oh yeah. It's all percentages. And then I swear, Nate, you know how I'm big on conspiracies.
Oh yeah.
I think these dealers are in cahoots with the same people that sold me that vacuum cleaner, because they know exactly how to play me. Like they're like, oh, look at this dirty floor, and I'm like, oh my god, take my money. So it's the same strategies, and they read me like a book. They're like, oh, are you out of money? And I'm like, no, I'm not fucking out of money. Bam, look at that. And then they got man. It so I'm just amazing. A sucker for that stuff.
I mean, I'm sure it's easier too with drunk people, because I'm sure drunk people only fall into so many categories, but
right.
That's why I stay away from table games, to be honest. Well, that's all I got about game. I mean, I could go on and on, but that's not really what our listeners want to hear.
No, they want to hear about the con that's coming up.
Yes, Nate.
Very shortly.
It is very close, and it is stressing me out. Like, I've been excited for months about this. You know, like, I'm always like, yeah, Nate, we're going to do a convention. And you're like, yep. but this in the last, like, month and a half, or last like 2 weeks and these next 4 weeks before the con, I just realized how much work there is to do. And it's like, oh, every night there's actually, I was like looking into Wi-Fi tonight, because I'm like,
oh yeah,
you know, convention Wi-Fi sucks, or you'll have no signal. And I know if you and Chris don't have your phones,
right,
you already hate people. So then if you can't like use your phone, so I was figuring out how to get us all Wi-Fi. That's
ooh, yeah,
the kind of guy I am. It'll be terrible, man. And it'll cost hundreds of dollars, but you guys will have Wi-Fi on your phones.
Oh, that way I can just look at my phone and pretend like I'm busy, like, oh, hold on, just answering an email.
Yeah.
When really I'm playing Snake.
Like you know how to use email.
Like, how do I turn this thing off? But everything's looking good. I saw the packages of prizes that you have all set up and packaged up, and man, it's looking crazy. You've spent way too much money on this.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, there's no way fiscally this will make sense, but we'll see how many subscribers we can get. My hope is really we could just like kind of celebrate. Like, Nate, like for you, I think you just, this is a hobby you enjoy most days when you're not super busy with your life and you have time to do this. For me, like, we do this hour and a half together, Nate, and it's a fun time. And then I edit it for 8 hours, Nate. Oh, and then I have to upload it. And then I have to create social media clip. Like, I spend a lot more time on this. So like, to me, I want just a little bit of like people coming. I want to see, and I'm also a professional marketer by day, so I want some people seeing our product and being like, this is cool, I like this, I want to know more about it. Like,
right.
I just need that. And we're not getting the algorithm to recommend us to people right now. We're too small.
Yeah.
And then people don't comment. We have listeners. I have like coworkers who listen and they love the show, but they will not comment or, you know, anything like that. So I just need a little bit of interaction to justify the many hours, Nate, literally probably 12 plus hours a week I spend on this show. No joke.
I think that's fair. That's why I'm giving it my best shot. And it's funny you mentioned coworkers, because one of my coworkers came up and he's like, hey, I found your show. And I'm like, okay, cool. He's like, it was pretty funny, but I really had to search for it. And I'm like, you could have just asked me for the name of the show. Like, I would have gave it to you and it took 5 seconds. But instead, he was doing like a deep dive, like searching my name and then like going through and trying to find it.
Well, I imagine like if he asked you, then of course he would have been like, what do you think?
Right.
And then if he hated it, that probably would have been awkward. So he probably wanted to like scope it out, but maybe he likes it. But Nate, I now remembered, and maybe it was your coworker, I don't know, we got our very first.
Yes.
Most people don't leave ratings or reviews. That's just,
yeah,
people listen, but they don't leave reviews, and that's okay. More popular podcasts, the more you'll get stuff like that. However, we've always had just like, if someone actually bothered, they left a 5-star. And usually right. it's friends or family. Let's be totally honest here. We're not getting random 5-stars. But
honestly, we're a 5-star show. So carry on.
Yeah. And not our audio last week. Sorry, guys. It was a little echoey. But, you know, we win some, we lose some recording remotely. So still better than the jujitsu pod, let's say.
Thank God they upgraded. It only took them 3 episodes.
Oh, my God. But anywho, Nate, we got our first 2-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Motherfucker.
They didn't write a review, so it's a rating, I guess. I got a 2-star rating. So we have now a 4.9 average. And I don't know about you, Nate, but what really pissed me off was that this person didn't have the gall, right? So like a 1 would have been like, I hate this 1.
Right.
In statistics, right? Like 1s and 5s are usually all you're going to see because people only really take a voluntary survey or a voluntary review if they have an extreme opinion. Either they really liked you or they really didn't. We got a 2, which was, you suck. I don't like this, but I don't hate it.
Yeah.
Or something to that effect. Or like, right. this is pretty not great, but we weren't even good enough to be like, fuck these guys. Like, right. these guys are terrible, or I don't agree with anything they say. We were 2. We were just meh.
Right. A meh. M-E-H. Like, that really irks me so bad. And then to have the audacity to just do it in a like a regular star review instead of leaving a comment.
I know, like they, I want to know, you know,
right? Hey, I know you're out there listening, 2-star review, leave your fucking name. Like, let's have a conversation about this. What can we do worse to give us a fucking 1-star? Like, what did you like that you gave us that extra star instead of just going full-blown dick and giving us the 1-star review? That's what I want to know.
And I think he knew if he left any kind of written review, we would have absolutely roasted this guy. Mm-hmm. What also makes me think, honestly, is that a 2-star review person is probably still listening to the show. I don't know. I have this in my head that he didn't like us enough to give us a good rating, but he didn't hate us enough to stop listening. So he's one of those people that's going to like listen every week and be like, this sucks. Yep. But then like listen to each episode. That's
our
the vibe.
First hater.
I know. I'm so, that's kind of like, we kind of made it, Nate. We might be on the right track.
Right.
Joe Rogan, like 20% of his reviews are 1-star.
Right. I was going to bring up the Mel Brooks History of the World Part 1, if you've seen that, Nate. And then,
I've seen Part 1, not the new one.
Okay, so the part with the caveman artist, and like with the first artist, there was the first critic who just starts pissing all over the wall. That's who this 2-star guy is.
He's
the first asshole who showed up and was like, you know what, the show's not great, but it's not awful.
So my gym trainer the other day, Nate, get this, out of fucking nowhere, he's like, hey man, I found this 80s movie. It's pretty wild. Has this guy, Chris Lambert, and they like fight with swords. I'm like, Highlander? And he's like, yeah. And he only got a couple minutes in. So then immediately I was like, did you get to the part where he's in the police station?
Yeah.
And anyway, he's like, oh, I only got a few minutes in. I'm like, what? He didn't even get to the part. Because then I was like, well, what about the scene with the wife? And he's like, oh, I haven't gone that far either. I'm like, well, so you watched 3 minutes and then decided to tell me about this fucking movie?
Yeah, why the fuck you bringing it up at this point?
And then he thought like he had discovered something wild. Because he just saw like the garage like fight scene.
I'm
like, dude, you're talking to the wrong people. And clearly you don't listen to my fucking podcast. So let me finish this movie, first of all. And then let's go back and play you some episodes and then have a conversation with me.
We have a whole fucking episode on it.
Well, and Nate, it's just starting to show that we're old now. Because like, I don't know, growing up, I'm like, there's nobody I didn't know who didn't know about Highlander. I just feel like that's a thing. So now to start to hear younger people be like, hey, have you ever seen this crazy thing about people dancing in a town where dancing's banned? And I'd be like, Footloose? Like, you know, like we're getting old enough where they don't recognize the things that we were just like a quintessential given. Like every person would get that question right on like a Trivial Pursuit game. Like, and now we're getting to the point where it's not common knowledge anymore.
Oh man, it's breaking my heart because I deal with that on the daily because some of our young apprentices, when I say young, they're like 21, 22. And constantly, I'm like, have you seen this movie? Like, I'll do a joke. And they're like, I don't get it. And then the older guys will laugh. And I'm like, wait a second. My humor is not working anymore. Like, have you even seen this fucking movie? And they're like, no, what is that? And then I just grab my chest and fall down on the ground and start rolling around and wait for my time to end because I'm getting so old.
I know. I just want to run the clock, Nate. I just want to speed it up at this point. I'm excited for retirement, though, because we've talked about this on the show. Like, my grandparents did puzzles or great-grandparents did puzzles before passing away. I'm going to be playing like PS5 and all the games that I bought on Steam and never got a chance to play. That's what I'll be doing until I die.
Yep.
And I think it'll be a great time. So we could just jump ahead to me being what, I think retirement age by the time we're older will be like 86.
Yes, that sounds accurate.
92.
Social Security will be gone.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll retire. And then it'll probably turn into like that Time movie with Justin Timberlake, where like we get a little implant on our arm that says how many hours we got left. Be like, oh, you got 10 minute break. You're actually going to die afterwards. So go ahead and enjoy it. Be like, well, it looks like I got time for a puzzle.
Like, imagine having incredible, because I also am starting to get the carpal tunnel from like being at a computer all
yes,
the time.
Yep.
And I'm like, it's, I know it's going to happen. Like, my ultimate like karma or irony is I'm going to be old, retire, and be like, I'm so ready to play video games. And then I hold the control. I'm like, it hurts my wrists.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like human beings weren't designed to sit in one spot for tens of hours.
Who would have
throughout
thought
the day? Who would have thought
this wasn't the grand design, Nate?
No, they weren't built for building fucking power lines either, Nate. I can tell you that because I'm fucking broke down and shit too.
Oh man, Nate, I don't know what I was doing, but I accidentally like Googled you I Googled you for some reason that made logical sense, but I found your YouTube video of you doing a rescue on a telephone pole,
power pole.
Yeah, okay. And then, I don't know, that had to be more than 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, it was a long time ago.
It's great because it's much like Megan's videos of you during the jiu-jitsu tournament. It's super blurry and out of focus. And I was like, this seems like a cool thing, but this is back when, like, you know, YouTube was still kind of like brave new world.
I'm pretty sure it was recorded on a fucking flip phone, Nate, if I'm going to be honest.
It probably was. Because I was looking at this, I'm like, this would have been a really cool video, except you're not even really in the camera in the, like, actual perspective of the shot, and it's blurry. But you put it online, and you have a YouTube channel with, like, two of these videos.
I didn't even know that's still out there. I thought it just deleted itself after a while. That's just what I know.
Turns out, Nate, nothing on the internet goes away. It's there forever.
I actually had a small channel where I did, like, Call of Duty videos for a while, too. So I had, like, an Elgato thing and did a capture, and then I actually did a voiceover over the top of it when I really cared. And it took me forever to get them up. And then I got quite a few views on one. And then at some point, like everything else that I do in my life, I got frustrated with it and just deleted everything. But I guess the climbing video somehow made it and stayed on.
Wild, Nate. Honestly, you'd be so good at streaming, but it's, I think, Nate, maybe we're old, but like, it's hard. Like, to stream, I don't know what your feeling is. Like, even just like setting up the UI and monitoring, this is gonna make me sound so old, Nate. How do you play a game and monitor the fucking chat channel? Like, how is that even possible?
No,
like, how?
It's not happening. Cause if I'm working all day, so if I do get a chance to actually play a video game, I'm not talking to anybody, I'm not looking at anybody, I'm playing the game and I am trying to find what little joy I have left in my life and trying to use it up now.
Your narration on any game would be hilarious, but I just think the tech setup is so, I mean, we can barely, and even like one out of every three episodes, we get some kind of funky sound issue on one of our sides.
Right.
But we can barely get a microphone working and a webcam. And for streaming, I guess it's like the same thing, except like your internet connection and you're like, you're like streaming graphic card. And I'm just
and
saying
you're
words.
Live though, like live is tough.
We tried to do it, and I think that was even harder. We tried to do both of us streaming at my house at the same time.
Yeah.
And that was actually horrible. I never wanted to do that again after we did that. And I think it would have just been easier to do it from our separate computers.
Right.
Is what I took away from that. Like, way too much effort.
Oh, yeah. But I still had fun.
That made one of us that night. I was so stressed. And it showed too in the videos. I was like literally not having any fun.
Oh,
at all.
You were stressed out. And then I was that old lady character and I was just running around like, my bones. I need ointment. A zombie bit me.
Well, it took us so long to get going that like once we started playing, we're like, we did a match and it was like, well, time to go.
That's a night.
It was pretty rough. But one day, Nate, we're starting with the podcast. I'm kind of excited. I think we're gonna kick off, if you're listening to this, a Discord. So if you happen to use Discord, we used to have one back in the day for the Patreon, but I think at the convention you can earn raffle tickets if you join our Discord.
So be ready for that.
Yeah, and I think if you think Nate's hilarious in person, wait till he just sends you like messages and chat.
And memes.
You don't really send me memes all that much.
I know.
Sometimes.
We used to back in the day when we had the big D&D group.
I feel special when you send me a meme.
Oh, well, maybe I'll try to send more. Only if they're good ones.
That's true. Most memes I'm so bored with because it's like I've seen them 1,000 times. I hate work life, like the like corporate memes. Because I'm like, yeah, we all know how this feels. It's not original.
Yeah.
We all have like, we all hate meetings. All could have been an email. We all have a work wife. Like we get it. Yep. Like I've all of them.
Yep. Seen it. Now it's all about the shorts, right? No, I agree with you 100%. The thing that fucking kills me more than anything, and I know you've seen them, is where there's a funny video, but it's in a small window. And then you see the person's face and they're just reacting.
The reacting video.
Yes. Like it's, they're not saying anything or doing, they're just making facial expressions like, stop this. Stop this right the fuck now.
It's so like, I don't know. I like, even if Nate, there's a lot of things that I would, if you would pay me like millions of dollars, then I'd do it, even if it made me look like shit. Mm. But reaction videos, like, it's just sad to me. It's sad.
Yes.
I think Johnny Depp said a quote once, or I don't know, some actor, you know, made a quote, like, and they were like, why do you want to quit acting? And he's like, I've spent my whole career reading somebody else's words.
Oh.
That's what like social media kind of feels like, is that like you're just, at this point, it's like, grab a trend. A trendy sound effect. So some other successful musician's music, and then grab someone else's cool idea of like the ice bucket challenge, whatever, their cool idea, and then their video, and then map it to you or whatever. And I'm like, wow, like you had nothing to offer. Like you just had to grab a little bit of everybody else's stuff to hope to be relevant. And that's like, that's pretty fucked, but that's kind of how I feel.
Right. That's the way the world works nowadays.
Yeah.
If you have an original idea, they're like, that's fucking stupid. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. We want, you're my dad, boogie, woogie, woogie, with a dog doing something. And then a person watching that video and then going, yeah, wow, cool.
And those people have so many more followers than Nate. Like the tens of thousands, hundreds of that, millions of followers who.
It's fucking stupid.
It blows my mind, you know. I think it must be like how like artists back in the day were like, I painted this beautiful mural. And somebody's like, I threw paint on a paintbrush and flicked it at the canvas.
Isn't that better? I imagine someone taking clips of our show and then doing a reaction video, and they have more followers than us who actually have the fucking show.
The day will come.
It's fine. I'm fine with it. It's fine. This is the way the world works. I'm accepting it.
We went pretty dark, Nate. I'm not going to lie. We went on like, oh, cool, here's how to cheat the gambling system or something, to like, everybody's art is less impressive than ours. Where we ended up.
It all started with that fucking 2-star review, you know?
Like, yeah, it really just put us off the fucking...
I bet whoever did that loves those fucking reaction videos. They're like 5 stars on the reaction video because they're a fucking idiot.
We were set up, Nate. He gave us a 2-star review to get us to talk about the review so he could do a reaction to our reaction of the 2-star review.
It's a crime. Should be a federal offense.
All right, Nate. Well... I think we should probably move into Daft Monks now that we have, let's see, we're 53 minutes in. So if we cut out everything I said that wasn't funny, that should leave us about 14 minutes of intro content, and then we can get on Daft Monks. What do you think of the last few episodes of Daft Monks, Nate?
Honestly, it feels like it's coming to an end.
You're hoping it's coming to an end. I know.
I am hoping and praying.
I know we're like, you and I, and I can't imagine how our listeners feel, are like, I think they're done with some of these voices, with some of these bits. There's even jokes that like I laugh when you say it, but I'm like, I'm so tired of this joke, you know? Like, and then I gotta say, like, the history of Van Helsing, like, I think the first episode was not bad because we acted out a lot of scenarios. You could tell that we just really were losing interest by the end of history of, or not even by like a third into history part two. Just the whole episode is a recap.
Yeah.
It's, but not like the like cartoons where like they recap and play parts of the scenes. We just literally are like, if it was like the last time on D-Hunters, it was like if that went 40 minutes, that was history of Van Helsing part two. And there was nothing I could do to spruce it up. Nothing I could do.
It still came out pretty funny though. It was good. Tall Square.
You're like, yes, Tall Square. It's also pretty hard not calling you Short Round. Like, there was some great banter. Great banter, Nate.
Right.
But, like, no plot, no plan, for usual.
The part where I was arguing with myself as Naya and Van Helsing was pretty good.
Nate, I even had some moments where I was arguing with myself with, like, Ghost Dad and Belmont. I'm like, we've been doing the show way too long.
We're going crazy.
I don't know. There might be a season 3 on the horizon. We might. I think we've been throwing out some cool ideas. Whether or not, you know, we actually act on them is always kind of the big question with us. But... Right. But there is potential with what we're thinking of for season 3, Nate.
You can always count on Nat One Presents to have at least a 2-star show. Fuck that guy.
I hope he does still listen. Because we, every other bit we've had on the show, we'll never let it go. Seven seasons in, we'll be talking about the 2-star review guy.
Yeah, if he's going to make another count, make another 2-star review, like, motherfucker.
The darkness is approaching yet again. The vampires have outnumbered us, 4-1. then our odds are not in our favor. It seems as if all hope is lost.
I wouldn't quite say lost, as probably misplaced or something along those lines. But either way, fear not, for Van Helsing and Belmont are here to save you.
Last time on Nat One Presents Daft Monk's Podcast. There I was, giving a recap of this recap. And then I thought to myself, kneecap, recap, kneecap, cap. It's a funny word. It's like a hat. That is exactly what happened on the last episode of the Daft Monk's Podcast. Back to you, Nates.
Perfect, perfect. So finale's in sight, Nate. We have combined all of our favorite characters, have reunited outside Grocer Burger, and have decided to join forces and take down Bingo. That's the real recap of where we're at. And by golly, Nate, I think we're going to do it, and hopefully 2 episodes or less.
If not, we might not survive. Not our characters, our real life peoples.
Van Helsing.
Yes?
I told you to get some sleep tonight. We have the biggest operation of our lives occurring in the morning at sunrise, and you know Bingo will be prompt with the Sun Temple Reckoning.
I just keep eating these mushrooms, and you know, it's really hard to go to sleep when you're on mushrooms. I close my eyelids, and it's like a kaleidoscope. Everything's blurring in front of me, and I see Ginge, and it's disgusting.
When are you gonna let it go, Dal? What did I do to you?
Oh, Ginge, you're still here. Oh, it's a small tent we're in. Where's Naya?
I'm here.
Oh, good. Everyone's here. The whole gang's here. Pregnant donkey, are you here? Oh, thank goodness. Well, we're all awake, so we might as well push forward and just do the battle now. What do you think, Belmont?
So what we're going to say, we're going to do a little fast forwarding because we put you guys through quite a bit for 2 episodes. So I'm not going to over narrate anymore for the finale. So they decided as a group that Bingo, Ginger kind of revealed that Bingo could not resurrect the Sun Temple until daylight. That is a requirement, and that he figured out how to do it, realizing that only Naya's brother, who I don't remember Naya's brother's name, like an actual historically.
We didn't really give him a name.
Let's give it like something like really silly too, maybe.
Chip.
Of course. So Bingo has Chip, and he realizes so Naya is not a real descendant of the Sun God. He can actually resurrect the Sun Temple with Chip. And so we know he's going to do it probably in the next few days. And we decide that at sunrise, we would make haste to Grocer Burger and stop him before the resurrection.
Yes, it's a perfect plan. It's lined out exactly how I would have planned it, except you did it and it's better. So thanks.
I imagine you're like in the back of the wagon by yourself.
Looking not even out the back of the wagon, just like in the corner. Yeah. I think Father's finally lost it.
No, he's actually always like this now. You've just really not had a lot of time with Bold Pops here.
That is extremely depressing.
Yes, it's only downhill from here. Mr. Helsing, I'm still here too. The end is upon us.
Oh, thank goodness, Tall Square, because if I have to go on much longer with hearing you in my head, I don't know how much I could take it. Between my eyes looking at Ginge and you in my ears, I just want to just jump in front of this wagon, but then I'd end up like Naya's mom.
Hey, I can hear you.
It cuts over to Ginger, and she's talking to Anna, and she's like,
so you think I got a chance with Van Helsing? He's been really coming around lately. I think we're really hitting it off. Living Immortal has really wore him down, and I think he's ready to settle down with, you know, somebody like me.
Ginger, my doll. Van Helsing is not interested in you, or frankly any woman, because he is a sexist pig.
Hee-haw. Quite right, donkey. You're the only female companion I've ever had in my life that really understood me. I'm sorry I impregnated you with that weird serum.
Everybody, enough. Sunrise is in 30 minutes. It's time for us to make haste.
I'm surprised we made it this long, but we need to get to Bingo before he resurrects the Sun Temple.
I'm ready to go. I have my pants. Wait. Give me 5 minutes.
Oh, my God. It's literally the only thing I ask him to have, Naya. Like, just wear pants. Why doesn't he think of that?
Naya has, like, a battle loincloth on.
I get it.
Oh, I get it. You and Dad have such a great relationship now that you just fucking met him, even though I've been traveling with him. Do you know what his habits? Do you know he has a weird fixation with cows? He tipped cows.
many times on many trips for no reason, no apparent reason other than he thought it was funny. You think Dad is an interesting person, but he's actually absolutely amazing. Yeah, he's pretty great.
I was just bringing up the fact that he probably definitely is my father because we both apparently get really hot balls. And sometimes you have to air those puppies out before a battle. Real men know about it, Belmont. Maybe, you know, someday.
Great. Thank you, Naya. Everybody ready? Soviet sisters, only competent people here in this party, you're going to go ahead and take on the Serpentine soldiers, because that is much easier to say than the
It was the three-toed, three-thing slingers.
Yes, right. Anyway, Soviet sisters and their 96 sisters are going to take on something like 3,000 soldiers. I don't know. I don't think this is going to work, guys.
Look at me in the eyes. Everyone listen up. This is that epic monologue before a battle. And here it goes. Bingo sucks. Balls. Really nasty ones.
Hot balls.
Yes. Thank you. Now, it is our mission. No, our legacy. No, I don't know. It's something. We have to go in there. We shall defeat him. I guarantee we will be successful. Why? Number one, I'm immortal. I didn't know if everyone knew that, but I am. So don't worry, I'll survive no matter what. Number two, good will always triumph evil. I may have done a lot of evil in my life, and cows consider me evil, and clowns specifically consider me evil, but for the
And we're off. Hacha! Ah! You're just, like, making a speech on top of the wagon. Like, everybody else is packed up on the horses, on the donkeys, whatever, and we just take off. So we are traveling towards the city of Groscherberger. The sun is starting to come up. And by the way, listeners, in Belmont's head, they didn't want to strike at night because they don't know. It kind of seems like Bingo's trying to, like, double cross Dracula. But also, we don't know that they might kind of be in league with each other. It's not very clear. So we didn't want to do a night raid in case the vampires were aligned. So we waited till daylight. So we're only dealing with one army and not two.
Hindsight, come to think about it. With our intro, you think there had been a lot more vampires in the show. Well, you live and learn. It's because we're always in the daytime.
Maybe in season three, Mr. Van Helsing. If we live to see the day.
Ooh, good call. Pregnant donkey's definitely making it in. I don't know about Ginge, though.
Ah.
Carry on, Belmont. How far are we from town?
Well, let's see. In the original episodes, I at one point said 30 yards, which is like literally like the house across the street. It's very clear I'm not good at these kind of measures things, but we're going to say we're about a couple hours away from the city.
Yes, I remember quite well when you said 30 yards. I was like, oh, he's right behind us.
Yeah. And I was talking about a castle, which is even funnier. So like a castle right behind.
All right. So a couple hours on the road, that gives me plenty of time to work up a better monologue once we get to town, to Groscherberger.
Van Helsing, do you see that? Everybody, look.
And you look off in the distance, the sunrise starting to peek over, and Belmont's like, yes, it's starting, the sun is rising.
No, look, in the middle of the sunrise, something's poking out of Groscherberger.
Gross, Ginge, don't talk like that.
No, Van Helsing, that's not what she's talking about. Oh, Jesus. It's begun. He's resurrected the Sun Temple.
It has begun.
Naya's just like riding a horse, like standing on a horse, like looking into the sky.
He's got like a Shao Kahn helmet on for some reason.
It's canon. We don't know where he got that.
It's in the fucking podcast.
Belmont leans over to Van Helsing. He's like, by the way, doesn't Naya only fight with like magic sun arrows, which he's not in possession of?
I mean, he's got chiseled features. He could model, you know.
Why do you keep pointing out that he's more fit than I am?
I wasn't saying anything about that. I mean, you look nice for like not hitting the gym in a couple days or weeks. You know, you still look good.
It's one thing to body shame Ginger, who clearly has no use in this party except for a target of your frustration and bigotry. But I'm your apparently blood relative. I don't want to say son because that's a little weird still for me, but I'm your little Trevor. And I have feelings, and when you tell me I'm not in as good shape as Naya, it hurts my ego.
There was a bird in that tree. I thought it looked
God
almost suspicious.
Damn it!
My bad.
You would think 32 episodes in, I would
have picked up on your hearing loss. Damn that alchemist.
I know. Tell me about it.
I think his name was Gerbils.
Gerbils.
Hair Gerbils. He was part animal, Hair Gerbils. A German gerbil, Hair Gerbils. It's canon.
Now, my boy, I promise you one thing. You'll always be my son. In my heart. And I love you more than anybody else here. So,
more than Naya?
Of course I do. I barely know the guy, and he doesn't say anything. He just mumbles and looks at the sun like we get it, you know? But I promise you one thing. Once we get into town, I'll buy you something really nice, like Balenciaga.
Oh, like my grand... Oh, right, I'm not related to that guy, which is probably good because it actually turns out Victor's great-great-great relative actually stabbed a Navajo chieftain in Europe in the back hundreds of years ago, and it cursed... You know those blackberries you like?
Yes.
That's actually a blood curse. Fun fact.
But get out of town.
Yes, who would have figured?
I love those blackberries.
Yeah, it's a horrible omen.
Oh, man, do you think we're going to make it through this?
No.
Oh, well, I look forward to the sweet release of death. Carry on, son.
In the distance, we see the tower is like rising higher and higher, and Anna's like, "This is not looking good. We are way behind schedule. I told you we should have left hours ago."
Who, me? I'm not in charge of anything. I'm just a guy. Yellow Ginge. She's the one that took forever getting that knapsack full of food, I'm assuming.
You guys are laughing, but who's going to need a sandwich by the end of the day? It's going to be every one of you, I guarantee it.
She stayed up all night making 700 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
And there's only 40 left.
Let me see one of those sandwiches.
It's blackberry. Blackberry sandwiches.
I hate blackberries. Especially in sandwich form. Get this out of here. Now, Belmont, back to that delicious blackberry bush we were talking about.
Off in the distance, we're getting closer in here. Burr, 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 like battle horns, and it's like, oh, great, we don't even have the element of surprise on us. God damn it.
I know. He's apparently taught the hyenas to blow horns. This is the most terrifying thing I think I've ever thought of in my life.
All right, it's about time. Anna, take the Soviet sisters into the front of town. We'll be entering through the sewers, as planned. Just now.
Yes, quite right. I agree 100%. We planned that from the very beginning. Now, where am I going again?
You're going with me, Van Helsing and Naya. We are entering through the sewers. Ginger is joining us because the Soviet sisters don't want her. She's apparently a huge liability. Mm-hmm. And they will be the distraction outside of the city. We're hoping to go in, get the Turnbuckle Teddies on our side, and bum rush the... Or fucking... Blitz?
Blitz.
Maybe Blitz.
Yeah. Blitzkrieg is German for lightning war.
Gerbils.
Hair gerbils.
Yes, we're going to blitz the Sun Tower with the Turnbuckle Teddies while the Soviet sisters take on the Serpentine soldiers. Do I need to go over the plan again?
No, I follow you 100% this time. And I'm sure the listeners at home do as well.
Who?
Nobody, just the voices in my head. Now, let's get to the sewers.
Gotcha! And so they split off. Soviet sisters, I don't know what all 396 of them were riding on, but they apparently are just very fast and agile.
I think there were some bigger ones, and the smaller ones are riding the bigger ones.
the quote, fuckable dames were riding the unfuckable dames, yes. In the battle.
There was like 100 ginges in all that mess, and they had saddles and shit.
Okay, Naya, this is it. Now, are you armed? Yeah, I know you don't have your sun weapons of lore, but we need to make sure you're ready. We could encounter anybody in these sewers or once we get into the city.
I have what my father gave me, and that is nothing. Just these bare hands, I guess.
Oh, it's like the skin, like the dry skin illness.
Oh, what is that?
Eczema. I have what my father gave me. That is eczema.
Okay, that's probably some ancient Navajo god, I'm gonna assume. Great. Van Helsing, do you know your way into Grushaburger?
I don't, but I know someone who does. McNibbles, assemble.
McNibbles comes flying out of my pocket.
McNibbles, take us back to Bingo.
And I assume he starts scurrying away and we follow.
You know, there's one thing I've always respected, Van Helsing, and that is your respect garnered by rats. How did you do it? How did you first meet McNibbles and get the rats to rally to your cause?
It was a long story. I think a flashback is...
Never mind, we're good.
I brought mushrooms.
No, we're solid. No more flashbacks.
It's an animality.
Yes, exactly. Now, apparently, with ancient traditions, I have invested so much of my time in rats that I could transform into one at will. Stand back, Belmont. I'm going to try it now. We may need this in the battle against Bingo.
I just imagine you get like a huge erection or like a small erection.
Ta-da!
The loincloth goes on.
I grew a tail. It looks like kind of like a rat's tail. Hair gerbils did a lot of experiments on me. It looks like a rat's tail. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Van Helsing. That will be very useful.
Imagine if I had 20 sets of foreskin. It looks like that. It's off-putting.
But as you're doing that, it's like all of the rats in the sewer, for some reason, like start to like come up to you, and they form like around you, and they're just all like waiting for your command.
I did it, Naya. I did an animality.
No, you didn't. This is something completely different.
But still kind of useful. Your rat army can at least give enemies diseases that eventually will kill them long after this series has gone off the air.
It's the perfect crime.
He kind of swings his erection left and right, and the rats move in unison with it.
Let me see if I can harness this weapon. Forward, march!
You can tell we're a little rusty, folks. We took a couple episodes off, and rat erections is where we're going for tonight's episode.
Belmont, are we seriously going to follow our father through the sewers with an army of rats while he leads them with a very weird...
Do you have a better idea, Naya?
At the moment, no. I don't even have a weapon. I just have eggs.
Then I think it's best you follow the erection rat army.
All right.
But if it lasts longer than 4 hours, we're out of here.
Well, we should call a doctor immediately.
Left, 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 right, left.
All the time, Ginger's just like, I really like a man who takes charge.
Thanks, Ginge. Stop eyeballing me. My eyes are up here.
So anyway, we get through the sewer and with, you know, hundreds of rats by our side, and we come to the inside of the town. We can most certainly see the Sun Tower. It is... Well, why don't you describe the Sun Tower?
The Sun Tower. I haven't seen it for hundreds of years, it feels like. However old Naya is.
Frankly, your backstory didn't really explain a timeline at all, so let's not even put numbers on it.
Perfect!
So, we look at the Sun Tower. It is humongous. Now the tallest building in the entire town of Grishaburger. Completely made of white glowing marble with gold inlays leading up to the top. It has a very Aztec Incan vibe to it with the way that it is structured. And then so just stairs leading up to a very large rectangle base at the top, kind of, and very ornate. All the steps have little designs and decals all inlaid with gold. It's very fancy.
Now, I'm going to need you to tell me what we do once we get inside the Sun Tower. Van Helsing's done it before, but he has the memory of a goldfish these days, thanks to the alchemist. Gerbils, I think his name was.
Herr Gerbils. Herr Gerbils was his name. Now.
Not now, Father. Let me explain. There is a trial, and the trial is you simply have to make it up the steps. Once we get to the landing at the very top, we shall be granted access. The steps are what's treacherous.
Yes, if there's one thing Van Helsing's not very good at, it's stairs.
Hey! These calves look amazing. And look at what these rats can do. And he swishes his back and forth. Wow, that is so amazing.
I've never seen Ginge keep up so well. I think you're not just motivating hundreds of disease-infested rats, but you're also motivating 276 pounds of diabetes.
Maybe Ginge is part rat. Did anybody think about that? Check her for buck teeth.
Oh, yeah, she's got them.
Ugh, and a snaggletooth, too. Anyway, we're not here to pick on Ginge. Ginge, we appreciate your company, and I'm sure you will play some kind of vital role by the end of this. I believe it.
Her head is still going up and down and left and right.
Holy shit, ton of vision, this one. Okay, let's go.
Last time I was here, I just walked up the stairs. It was quite easy. Like this.
And he falls down on his belly, and it's like,
oh, these are a lot steeper than I remember.
Off in the distance, you can hear the Soviet sisters, like, battling, like, just, like, war noises, like, and, like, weapons clashing.
Cling, 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 cling.
Van Helsing, didn't you say we would run into the Turnbuckle Teddies at some point?
I definitely thought we would.
You push open the doors to the Sun Temple and see just, like, there are, like, 40-some dead Turnbuckle Teddies laid about the floor of the Sun Temple.
One's still alive, and he's like, my eyes! My eyes!
Oh, God. I don't even know where I am.
And he falls down all the stairs to the bottom. My eyes!
Oh, what a fall. I'd hate to fall down all those stairs, poor fella.
Oh, man, what happened to that guy?
I don't know. I'd rather be one of these dead guys than that guy. He looked really messed up.
It seems that they've taken this a step further than I imagined. There were stories that if a sacrifice large enough was made, that a portal would open up, and Sun God himself would show and grant his powers to whoever was brave enough to slaughter 47 brave soldiers. I couldn't even begin to comprehend who would be crazy enough to try something like this. Who thinks that they can wield the power of a god?
That would be me.
Here very distantly, like way at the top of the tower, echoing down. You can't really make it out very well, but Van Helsing knows that it is Bingo calling down to him.
Van Helsing turns around really fast and he knocks over a vase that was standing there. At waist level.
Ah! I see. Actually, I don't see. I hear you. I hear you, Bingo. What are you doing here? Why have you killed these men? Do you really think that you could harness a power such as the Sun God?
Think? No. I am sure that I can harness the power of the Sun, Van Helsing. Now that the entire family is here, you, Naya, Chip, and even the Belmont Brat, or whoever he is, you can witness my ascension to godliness.
What have you done with Chip? Where is my brother?
Oh, he's perfectly fine. Right, Chip? And he, like, steps aside with somebody.
Release my brother, you fiend. He has no quarrel in this. He has nothing at stake here. Let him be.
Oh, I absolutely will do that. Once I've opened the portal to the Sun God and attained his powers. But first, I'm going to need you guys to come all the way up here.
Oh my god, more stairs. A bigger rival than Bingo himself. Stairs.
And out of like the shadows from under like the stairwell, the three hyenas come out.
Well, son of a bitch! Alright, I wasn't expecting this. Ginge, you're going to have to sacrifice yourself to these hyenas so that we may pursue Bingo. Now, just lay down, scoot over there.
Guys, I really don't know if I'm, up for the task of taking on three hyenas. Just then, the doors burst open and the fucking eeyaw, eeyaw, the pregnant donkey comes in. And Belmont's like, one ginger and one pregnant donkey versus three hyenas. Those are odds I'll take.
That's the most fair fight I've ever heard of in my life. You go get them, but protect pregnant donkey with all of your might.
Naya, please, you'll stay with me at least, right?
I really need to save my brother, Chip. I mean, it'd be kind of weird if I wasn't involved in saving Chip, you know, and I was, like, fighting a hyena. That it just doesn't sit right with me, Ginge, like, spiritually. So
Van Helsing's assemble! And Belmont runs up the stairs leading the charge.
Naya follows, and so does Van Helsing.
Wow. That's my future husband and stepkids right there, everybody.
Ginge looks over, and the donkey has, like, war paint underneath its eyes, like,
hee-haw. She's like, well, let's do this thing. And we'll cut away for a distance, so we'll go to the stairwell. Belmont is, like, very eagerly, like, running up the stairs, like, yes, I got this.
no problem. And he's like, you know, like putting effort in. He's breathing a little bit, but, you know, he thinks he's okay. And then Naya is just like, I imagine, like very casually keeping the same pace, like just walking.
He has a look on his face like, why the fuck are we going so slow? I thought we were rushing to get up these stairs.
Belmont's clearly still like working up like a sweat trying to get up these. He's like, no, Naya, we clearly have to save our energy so we have time to fight and save your brother. Right, Van Helsing?
Quite right. I think he should, you know, but maybe Belmont, my boy, move slightly to the left, like put on a turn signal, you know.
I'm actually imagining there was one of those like elderly people chair things that like climb up the wall. And Van Helsing's just like, it's coming very slowly, but he's just sitting in this like old fashioned throne thing that's just moving up the side of the spiral staircase.
I'll be there as soon as I can, boys. Bingo left this for me down here.
Well, it couldn't have been more convenient.
It'd be silly not to use it.
As we're going up the stairs, I want to say that there's like different rooms. Belmont's like, Naya, is there anything in any of these rooms that might be helpful on our way up?
I don't know. I'll glance. I got plenty of time since you're leading the charge. I could probably explore these rooms for hours and then still meet you at the top.
You're being a dick, but I also think there's some logic. Go ahead, run up ahead and check some of the rooms and see if there's anything valuable we can use.
I burst through the first room.
It's just a ton of really poorly drawn paintings of Belmont's mother with gigantic over-exaggerated tits.
I think I can spend another couple seconds here. Uh-huh. He's like trying to like blink his eyes, like trying to like photograph him like ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Okay, mental note. All right, back up.
Belmont's going up the stairs and he's like, Van Helsing, what is Naya doing? Why is he spending so much time in that room?
All right, hold on. The chair's almost there. Oh, no, Belmont. The chair broke a little bit. I'm going to have to try to repair it in this room. Excuse me for some minutes. Rat Army, follow Belmont. I'll be here.
You just, like, flick it over.
Just go get him.
And then he goes and closes the door into that room for a little bit.
Oh, it must be a recovery chamber, right, Naya?
Yes, he will get a lot of recovery in that chamber. I don't know when he gets out if he'll be able to control the rats anymore, but hey, what can you do?
That's some sun god power right there, huh?
Oh, yes, that room was very intense. I don't know why Bingo redecorated it so quickly to look like that. It was the perfect distraction, I'm sure, for Dad.
So you guys keep ascending the stairs. Wow, Naya, there's a lot of stairs. I'm really getting a little tired. Maybe we stop in this next room and maybe I catch breath if that's okay with you.
That's fine. As long as it doesn't contain any portraits of your mother with voluptuous large breasts like that last room.
Wait, what?
Never mind. I think this is some kind of weapons cache room. You know what? I will take my time in here. There has to be something in here that can help in the battle ahead. So it's almost like a storage room, but like these weapons are from the Sun Temple itself, and a lot of them seem to be inaccessible. Like they're maybe for decoration or they're part of the wall and they're locked up, but there is one that seems to be open, and Naya approaches it. And as he approaches it, he slides his hand out towards it. And it is a war axe. So it is a large stone that's basically been wrapped and tied to a club. It's rather neat looking. It's made of the same marble that the Sun Temple is made out of, but it still has like traditional leather wrappings, but with little gold fiber inlays in it. And it works its way down the handle, which has ornate carvings. And then as soon as Naya grabs the handle, he gets like a flash in his eyes where it's the sun god looking down on him. And no
like
words.
The real sun god?
Yes, 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 yes. And no words are spoken, but he sees it in his eyes. And it's like when you have a dream and nothing happened in the dream, but you have a feeling, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he has this feeling that the sun god is letting him have this axe, this war axe, just because Chip, his real son, is in danger. And Naya kind of accepts it. And then it flashes back to reality.
and then the white marble glows bright orange for just a second and then back to white.
From Belmont's perspective, it was just you holding like out your hand to like nothing, and then like a tear coming down, rolling down Naya's face. And then in the meantime, Belmont's like,
is Chip Start or something like Chipotle or something?
It doesn't seem like a very Navajo name.
And then Naya turns around, axe in hand.
Chip is short for Chippenananawe.
God damn it. I mean, hey, new record. You made it almost an hour and a half without offending something or somebody.
You're welcome. Chip is short for nothing. It is Chip, and he is my brother, and I shall save him. I am now on a quest from the sun god himself. I think. It's all confusing. I'm tired of flashbacks and cutaways. The point is, I have this weapon now, so let's go kill Bingo.
That's the Naya I know. Finally good to see you snap out of that depression. Now, are you ready, brother? And does, like, the 80s, like, arm shake thing.
Sure. And he grabs you and does the 80 high five, but then, like, pulls you, like, backwards. He's like, I'll lead this time. And he starts sprinting up the stairs.
And as you guys burst out, Van Helsing's coming up in the chair again. Like, flushed. He's, like, flushed and, like...
On my way! It's a lot of work to get this chair back together. I took it apart, put it back together, took it apart again. It's working now. Don't worry, boys. I'm coming.
So we're going to cut over to the Soviet sisters, and... This entire time, they've just been watching as these, like, giant army has been on the, like, outskirts of Groscherberger, has just been, like, slowly limping back and forth, like, in their direction. Like, it's almost like zombies, but if, like, even, zombies that kind of stay in place and, like, you know, like, kind of just rock back and forth, but, like, these guys are literally, like, walking and, like, almost, like, serpentining. And Anastasia or Nekrokhanov is like,
Van Helsing was not kidding. These men cannot walk in a straight line. They will be... No challenge for the Soviet sisters.
It seems as if some of them are new members, because they're like, there's a trail of blood still coming from them. It's really gross.
Thank you, Sister Pergachev.
I am sister number 127. It's like an extra. They didn't give me a name. They said they ran out of names at the sister chapel.
They are not great odds, sisters. We are 1 to 7 of these Serpentine soldiers, but we are the superior gender. We are smarter, stronger, and better in bed and the kitchen than any of these men. Now, pick up your weapons and show them what it means to be a Soviet sister.
Here, here, sister! Ha!
Yeah! Yes, girl! Get it!
Get it, queen!
And as they, like, raise their weapons and prepare to charge in, a donkey comes running, like, towards them and has war paint on its face, and there's a bloody clothing draped around the donkey, and it rides up to Anna, or to Nekrokhanov, and she's like,
I think things are not going well at the Sun Temple.
Oh my god, that cannibal donkey ate Ginge!
No, it would probably be the other way around, but we need to make haste. I think they need our help.
Alright, so we're not gonna fight the zombies? / three-toed, three-thing slingers?
I'll take care of the zombies!
Oh my god, the ground goes ghost dead.
Yes, I'm still in this episode!
And he kind of, like, swats down and starts hitting. But what's kind of weird is he, like, can totally, like, knock some of them off their feet. That's to even say many of them. But some of them just phase right through them.
I don't understand. This happens in the Soviet Sisters Summit as well. It seems like the ghost man can only hurt some people, but not others. What's that about?
I can only affect adulterers.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. And makes sense that most men are affected and most women would not.
That does make sense. I agree with that.
Okay, Soviet sisters, a quarter of you. Everybody count off in fours. And anybody who counts one will go help the ghost daddy.
One.
That's me. I'm a 1-2, sister. Damn right you are.
And anyway, it just cuts to giant swaths of fucking three-toed, three-thing slingers being knocked out by the ghost Victor and some of the women going to battle, while another group heads towards the Sun Temple. And we go back to Naya and Van Helsing and Belmont at the almost peak of the stairwell of the Sun Temple.
How does this chair even work? Is there electricity? Is it powered by the sun? It's on this rail. And who put this in here? Did Bingo have this planned from the beginning? Did he install this very nice chair?
I don't know, but you never would have got up here, Van Helsing, if not for this chair.
Like, who's visiting the sun god that needs this chair? Does he have an elderly grandma who frequents him? And she needs this chair to get up all these fucking stairs?
I know we said that we wouldn't do any flashbacks, but I imagine back when Van Helsing was impersonating being the sun god and being Naya's dad, he was just riding the chair like up and down like literally all day. And he's like, I need one chair. I'm not doing the stairs anymore. Like, he's just like goes on a rant about how he needs a motorized chair because he's over it.
First things first, I am the sun god first and foremost. A motorized chair shall be installed in this temple or heads will roll. I guarantee it.
Did we ever establish, are there like staff in the Sun Temple? Like, are there other things or people?
I always thought it was just empty besides the sun.
Tall Square is like, Mr. Helsing, no one's here, but I'm also an engineer, so I'll tell you how to make this chair.
Very well, Tall Square. Let's get down to business.
Flash forward.
Oh, yes, that's where the chair came from, and it has ATV engraved on the back of the chair.
Wait, what's ATV?
Abraham Timothy Van Helsing.
Oh, I was thinking all-terrain vehicle. I was like, what the fuck?
Funny thing is, it does that too, and he pushes a button, and it turns into a razzle.
He's following Naya. Velma, I'm a rascal.
It's all canon. We're running with everything this fucking episode. I'm not editing any of this out.
Check and mate, Bingo. That you weren't ready for that.
You guys arrive at the top of the Sun Temple with these grand ornate doors.
I feel like Tall Square should have put a basket on this. It feels like it's really missing a basket. You know, like McNibbles can sit in the front.
Father, now is not the time for you to be complaining about the contraption you made years ago.
I know, I'm just saying, you know, if there was ever a time to say it before we move on to the next chapter and then forget about my rascal scooter.
What I want to know is why we've been riding around in a wagon for 32 episodes when, in fact, you have an ATV sun god rascal on you.
Technically, Tall Square engineered this. I just built it. Like, he doesn't help me with anything else. He's an asshole. He just haunts me. But he could tell that these stairs were a real burden on my hips, so he helped me this one time.
I had a bachelor's degree at the age of 7.
Not now, Tall Square. Now, stand aside, and I shall push my way through these doors. And he just starts
revving.
No, I think we need an ancestor of the sun god to open the door, which I don't think we have any of those here. And he looks at Naya.
I'm afraid I'm not, but I can surely try. Maybe with the power imbued from this axe, it might give me enough. And then he goes and kneels forward and makes a prayer. And Van Helsing's like, boring. Lame.
And he just like fucking revs the engine and just like rams the door.
Runs over Naya's foot on his way to the door.
I feel like right before like Van Helsing like tries to like impact the door, they just automatically open on their own. And we'll stop there.
Yeah.
Well, that was something.
We were a little rough around the edges. Our 2-week hiatus.
No, honestly, Nate, I think we have enough there. Like, that's an hour and 48 minutes. When I cut that down to 53 minutes, there's going to be action-packed, joke after joke, erection, good old time.
I think so, too. I'm excited for it. And I like the action. The action was good.
Yeah. What do you think, Nate? Do you think we're going to have an actual dice-rolling battle in the final episode?
Ooh, we can. That'd be a lot of fun.
Or would it?
I don't know.
I've listened to the old episodes.
Yeah, it was rough.
We'll see. We'll see.
Right.
Leave a comment. If you leave a comment on Spotify and tell us you want dice, you will get dice in the final episode.
Or perhaps a coin flip might be easier on these two fellas trying their damnedest to make a decent podcast worth more than 2 stars. Perhaps.
Less than 3 and definitely more than 1.
Son of a
bitch. That guy's a real piece of shit. Thanks for listening.
And good night.
Bye.
Congratulations, you've survived another episode of Daft Monks. Did you enjoy the episode? Do you love the show? Do you want to pay for our dental plan? If so, I think it's only fair that you show Nat One some love in return. No, not that kind of love. Please, put it away. Oh, I meant follow us on our social medias and all that good stuff. Simply click the links in the episode description to follow us on our Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or click support our show to make a monthly contribution to help pay for all the expensive software Nate subscribes to. And don't worry, other Nate will see the money eventually as it grows, but not anytime soon. I promise. Lastly, do you want even more Nat 1 goodness? Of course you do. Who wouldn't? Then click the prequel podcast link to listen to our experimental first season of podcasting for 50 plus more episodes of conspiracy theories, messy one-shot campaigns, and of course, all of your favorite Nat 1 hijinks. Now, thank you a ton, and we will talk to you next week.